We're going to be talking about witnessing today, and do you have all the answers? And we're going to be talking about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So let's begin by prayer and then singing hymn 201, There's Power in the Blood. Father, what an honor to be here this morning and to bow down and to join brothers and sisters in prayer. And we want to begin by just acknowledging you and just looking to you and just thanking you for what you've done for each of us. That we rejoice that our names are written in the book of life. And so as we begin now this morning and we sing this familiar hymn, but the words, may we not minimize those. There's power in the blood. And may we write that in our hearts and with thanksgiving and with great expectation. In Jesus' name, amen. Number 201, there's power in the blood. Do you all have a book? If not, look on your neighbor. There's power in the blood, verse 1, number 201. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Well, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 17. And a question for you. First of all, if you thought the janitors left the power cord in the middle of the room, they didn't. It was actually on the table over there. But I was just thinking, you know, what power we have in the electrical outlets in this room here. But unless you have the ability to plug into it and connect it to what can use that power, what good is it? And the same with the power of the Spirit, right? Unless we connect to that power, unless we connect with our Lord, unless we recognize the power in the blood, we have no power at all, do we? We look at people like Stephen, we say, oh, I wish I had that faith. Who put that faith in Stephen? It was the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. I really believe that Stephen was exactly like you and like me. I don't think he had any more power than any of us. But the Spirit came upon him, and he was mighty and mighty to witness, right? How is your witness? Do you sometimes wonder, oh, I wish I knew more? Do you get intimidated when you think about witnessing to somebody who you think is really intelligent or really well-versed, or maybe they have two or three degrees or whatever, and you just feel so inadequate and they snap back at you with some argument and you just don't know what to do? Do you ever feel that? Well, I want to just take you to a couple of scriptures this morning and see if this doesn't encourage you in your witness. We first go to Acts chapter 17 and we see Paul in Athens, and he gives what most people consider an excellent sermon, a beautiful sermon, a well-prepared sermon, a sermon that is culturally relevant, a sermon that is very mindful of the audience. And it's a sermon that he even quotes their own poets, Epimedes and Aratus. He quotes their own poets to them. He builds on one of their idols, on this idol made to the unknown God. He is totally aware of the audience, and he doesn't say anything in the audience to upset them at all. Is that a good sermon? Think so, huh? Most people do. Most people teach this as a model sermon. Well, let's see what Paul thinks of his sermon. In the next verse after chapter 17, after this sermon, we see that some believed there was Dionysus. There was a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So there were some believers. Praise God for that. But Acts 18:1, the next verse, and there's no chapter breaks in the scripture, so it says what? After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. How did he preach to the Corinthians? Was he really culturally relevant? Was he really speaking with great wisdom and great words of knowledge? Well, let's go and see what he said. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, now remember he came right after this message to Athens. When I came to you, I did not come, what, with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Now listen to this. For I determined not to know anything among you except, what? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I think this text will show us, I think the fact that he established a very strong church in Corinth and he established no church at all in Athens gives us a clue to what the gospel message is really all about. And if you don't get anything out of this morning's little devo other than this, if you can remember Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that's all you need to know. You don't need a degree. You don't need to go to every apologetic seminar in the world and try to be a Ravi Zacharias, although I have great confidence in him and these other guys, and I marvel at them. But they're so far above me, and I look at them and I think, I can't do that. I don't have all that knowledge. I don't have all that wisdom. I don't have all that ability. Well, guess what? I don't think the Lord is going to use you against a Peter Hawkins or whoever it is unless he empowers you with the Spirit, and that's the only power you're going to have anyway. So anytime you're thinking about telling somebody about the Lord, remember Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Can you remember that? Do you understand that? Do you know Jesus? Do you know what He's done in your life? Do you know why you're saved? It's because of Him crucified, right? And, of course, the power of the resurrection. So Paul says, I was with you in weakness, in fear and in much trembling. So witness in weakness, in fear and much trembling. Don't stand on your own strength because you don't have any own strength apart from the Lord. And it says, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Now, does that make you feel better? You don't need any persuasive words of human wisdom. But what do you need? Demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but what? In the power of God. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that comforting? So what an example for us being witnesses, simply focusing on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So rest in weakness, in fear and trembling and weakness of speech, but rely on Him, just the person of Jesus Christ and His blood, the power of His blood, His cleansing blood. That is how we're saved, by His blood that was shed. He took our place. Well, what can we learn from this? I think we can learn that every issue, every problem, every question, every witness opportunity we get can be resolved in this. The answer is what? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the answer. He goes on in 1 Corinthians 17 through 31 that you might read on your own and focus on it and drives home these points we've just made. So if you have a burden in your heart that you need to know everything about everything, forget it. That's not what the Lord is asking you to do. It's so simple. What is it that you're sure of? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Nothing more, really nothing else you need to know. And you can even use this same thought when you get tough questions. Let's say you're in a witness opportunity and somebody says, how could a loving God allow all these starving people in Africa? Or how could a loving God allow a famine? Or how could a loving God allow evil? How could a loving God allow somebody to rape a small child or something like that? Well, here's how you answer it. Remember Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You might go to a scripture such as Romans 5:8, but how do we know God loves us? But God demonstrates His own love toward us, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We want to shift the question or the problem or the circumstance and the feelings of a person from them to the Lord, from them to the cross, to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the enablement of Your Spirit, Lord, to give us the power we need to be a witness that You would have us to be. And it's all about You, Lord. It's not about us. It's all about what You've done for us. And Lord, every believer knows in his heart what You've done for us. And I know that You want every believer to pass that on to those who do not know. So Lord, may we remember Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Thank You for hearing us this morning, Lord, and we want to now join our hearts in responding to Your Spirit, in lifting up prayers that You would put on our hearts, whether it be for the body of Christ, whether it be for the leadership here at the church, whether it be for the missionaries around the world, for the church planting going on, whether it be for the world leaders, kings, and those in authority, whether it be for those who are hurting, whether it be for the persecuted church, or whatever You put on our hearts, Lord. We just want to join our hearts and having our will aligned with Yours. So lead us now, and as we respond to You, we have confidence that You will hear us. This is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to Your will, You hear us, and we know that if You hear us, You will grant us the petitions that we ask. So lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen.